Thank you, Rob and the team. Good morning, church, and those on the live stream too. My name's Juliet, and I'm part of the leadership team here at Life Church. Before I come to share what I believe God's given me this morning, I'd like to tell you a little story because it illustrates the topic perfectly. 15 years ago, I had a dream that I would stand in a church and I would speak on a Sunday morning, which I dismissed instantly as ridiculous. Why wouldn't I? And then when Steve asked me to join the leadership team, I said I'd think and pray about it. But the very first thing I made clear was that I don't do Sunday morning speaking. It's not my thing at all. Don't get me wrong, I speak at conferences all the time. I talk about the charity I work for. I make people cry and then I ask them for money. I'm a bit like a budget Bob Geldof without the swearing. But talking to God's people feels really different. It feels like a huge responsibility. And we're blessed with so many brilliant people who bring us amazing words on Sunday morning. So I kind of figured I was off the hook. Fast forward 6 months, and I'm at the Pioneer Women Leaders Conference. And Sue Singh, who leads Pioneer's prophetic teaching team, turned to me and said, "You know, I really think God wants you to preach." So I did the only sensible thing you can do with a word like that. I'm sorry, the clicker's not working this morning, so could I have the next one? I stuck it in the too hard folder. Now, we've all got a too hard folder. We've all got a place where we put things that God has said to us that are just a little bit too challenging right now, or we don't want to deal with them yet. Maybe yours is in a box somewhere in the garage, like the first picture. Maybe it's stored on an old phone or a scrap of paper. Maybe you're one of those spiritual types and you've got a book of words, but it's on a shelf somewhere and you haven't opened it recently. Or maybe it just sits in your brain like the last picture. And parents, you might need to explain to under 21s what that is. Maybe it's just sitting going obsolete in your brain. Perhaps we fear what might happen if we get out the thing that God has said to us and we dust it off and we start praying about it. So having consigned my word, that I didn't really want to deal with at the time, to a suitably safe space, the last picture, obsolete in my brain, I got on with life, work, children, church, you know, all of that. And then a few weeks ago, God really challenged me. I was praying really quickly. I pray through my day every morning. I fire up my Outlook calendar and pray for the meetings I'm going to have and the people I'm going to talk to. And it was just part of the Bible that was just really familiar with to me. Could I have the next slide, please? Sorry, I feel like Chris Whitty. Next slide, please. Luke 5. Now, anybody who's been in church for even a short while knows this story. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now, go out to where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." This time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were full of fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. But when I read that, some words leapt off the page. "Now go out to where it is deeper." Simon had really sensible reasons for not going out again. He was tired and the timing wasn't great. Maybe it crossed his mind that he could be wasting his time and effort, and he might look a bit stupid if he went out again and came back with empty nets. Perhaps we identify with that sometimes. But even though he was only beginning to get to know Jesus, he actually chose to go with him, literally. As those words lifted off the page in front of me, I instantly felt God fill my mind with images of the deep. A turbulent, sometimes frightening place full of strange wildlife and peril. And the question came, what is your deep? When we think about the sea, we often think about the shallows. Nice, warm water, little fish, soft sand, gentle waves. Feel safe, it's really easy to navigate, and you can touch the bottom. But the deep, well, that's something else entirely. Massive waves, powerful currents, huge wildlife. There are no landmarks. It's a place of fear. We can't predict what's going to happen. We're not even sure what's holding us up sometimes. And it takes a lot of effort and time and energy to get out there. All of us, at times, can paddle in the shallows of our Christian lives. Going over old ground, not really stretching ourselves. Perhaps there are aspects of our lives as Christians where we know we need to go deeper. Get out of our comfort zone, ask for healing or restoration or growth or be challenged. Back to our story, to those fishermen in the deep. You'll see another verse highlighted now, one that shows God's bountiful blessing. This time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. We've already talked about Jesus' challenge to go back out again after a fruitless night of fishing, to pick up where they had left off, to once again face the waves and the currents and the tides, to put in yet more effort and time. But now we also get to see God's provision, which the disciples were completely unaware of before it happened. Their nets were so full that they began to tear. Quite honestly, that fish catch shouldn't have been there. I know next to nothing about fishing, except I'm told that it's easier at night. Fish, they're not stupid. They don't swim around near the surface when the sun's up, so that the bigger fish, or worse, can catch them. In the daytime, they head deep, really deep. This catch was miraculous, God's blessing on the obedience of Simon Peter and the others. And obedience is key here. When God gives us a project, he doesn't ask us for sophisticated analysis, spreadsheets, budgets and project plans. To be honest, I'd be a lot happier if he did ask me for those things because I'm quite good at that. And as you can see, I'm working towards obedience. And we see this marrying of challenge and provision so often in Bible verses, like those he calls, he equips. And this one. This is one that comes up frequently for Stephen and I. We quietly enjoy the slightly confused looks on people's faces when they say they have a verse for us. And we say, is it Jeremiah 29, verse 11? In fact, I went to the toilet before the service and I closed the door. And on the back of the door was this. It probably 3 or 4 times a year, somebody will come up to us and say, I have a verse for you. And it'll be this one. We often don't know what God's plans for us are or whether they'll turn out as we want them to. But the fact is, if God has asked us to be in the deep, to go to a place of challenge where we're not quite sure what's holding us up and where we're not quite sure what's going to happen, then those are good plans. This verse tells us they're good plans. They're not going to end in disaster. And the Bible's full of reassurance and faith-building verses like this. The question is, not whether we can see the future the way that God can, because it's obvious we can't, but we can choose to believe or not the promises he makes to us. Thank you. I mentioned earlier that many of us will have heard words spoken over us, prophetic words, or felt given a promise from God. Many of us will have had passions that were once really alive in our hearts, things that we faithfully, maybe fervently, prayed for, visions and dreams that we ached to see come to pass. Perhaps we know that God has challenged us to put in time and effort to go out into the deep, to deal with something or to grow in a certain way. As those images of the deep filled my mind on that morning, I really felt God ask us, what is your deep? What thing do you need to go back to? What is the thing that you once passionately prayed for and worked for? What word, unfulfilled at the moment, do you need to pray into? Perhaps God spoke to you years ago about starting a work or ministry. Perhaps you used to regularly pray to see something happen, but you've lost that spark recently. Just like for the fishermen, the deep can be challenging for us too. We might fear what others think of us, or the reactions that people may have. Maybe we've been telling ourselves that we can't do it because we're 17, or because we're 70, because we're married or not, because the children are still at home. But we have seen from this unexpected and amazing catch of fish that there is real provision and blessing in the deep, and God is more than able to deliver everything we need to make his plan a reality. So my message is short, and I tried to be slick like Steve with his designer or default year a few months back, but I couldn't really do that. So my challenge is this one. Next slide, please. Are you floating on the lilo of life or riding the waves of adventure with God? As we've heard, the next 2 weeks are a little bit unusual. We've got picnic and we've got farm church. But when we return to the building, we're starting a new series entitled Thermostat. And it's all about our spiritual temperature, the hot spots and cold spots in our lives as Christians and our relationship with God. As a leadership team, we're really excited about this series and the challenges it will bring to us. We have some great speakers lined up and some amazing messages. Now, I've just thrown out a challenge. I don't want anyone to feel pressured by that challenge. If it's not for you, then just let it pass by. God knows each of us much better than we know ourselves. And he may be focused on doing something completely different in your life right now, and that's great. But if you know you have unfulfilled words in your life, or there's something that you used to pray for and ache to see happen, I'd like to give you an opportunity before we leave today to pray about that. You may have put it in the too hard folder, but God's word confidently asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And if you want the answer to be no, then why not stay behind and get some prayer before we go? We're going to now have a time of corporate prayer together, and we'll be praying for things like the Afghanistan situation. And then Sarah's going to close the meeting. We'll end the live stream, but if you want to pray with someone, there will be people with ministry team badges around who can pray with you. If you're on the live stream and you want to access prayer, please drop a note on the website in the prayer section and somebody will contact you to pray with you. So that's my challenge. Are you floating on the lilo of life or riding the waves of adventure with God?